This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Thanks for being with us live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Bear and Jake are here. It is December 7th. Help me up here. 80 years?
80 years today, Russell, since a date that will live in infamy.
Yep.
The Imperial Japanese Navy.
They caught us. Caught us with their pants down.
They Pearl Harbored us.
Now, do you subscribe to the conspiracy theory that FDR, they knew it was coming. They knew it was coming, and they let it happen.
I don't think they...
To hasten the United States
getting
entrance
drawn
into World War II.
No, I do think, I'm not sure if the word got all the way to, I mean, it was one person who, as I understand the story, there was one analyst that was looking at the, you know, the Japanese fleet movements, and there was one guy that was like, look, I really think they're getting ready to attack Pearl Harbor.
They should have been listening to that guy.
Yeah.
Always listen to that guy. There's always that guy who saw it coming.
But it's not like it was a, you know,
it's like that report. Then before 9/11, they said like Osama bin Laden
August
determined
11th,
to attack.
Determined to attack they soft U.S. targets using commercial passenger airliners. They did it like 30 days later.
So it's also 4 years to the day that one Jeremy Pruitt strode to the lectern and assumed command of the Tennessee football
cornbread
program.
All right.
I was trying to think of things, worst decisions that I could be put in charge of that would be a worse decision than Pruitt getting the Tennessee job.
And it is 9 years to the day. I'm sure that's a fun conversation. You continue thinking about that. 9 years to the day that Derek Dooley.
What an idiot.
Strode to the lectern. That Butch Jones.
Who's the idiot now, Russ?
It's critical.
Strode, he did. Took small strides with his little legs and his little feet.
Be kind.
To the lectern and assumed command of the Tennessee football program. Note to self. Never, even if you in the future for some reason hire a coach on the 5th or the 6th of December, wait till the 8th. Don't have that press conference. It's something about December 7th. It's just not a good date for America or Tennessee football.
Or just wait until January.
Well, you're not going to hire a coach in early December and not announce it for a month.
True, but we've had two in the past 10 years that have been hired, well, 11 years that have been hired in January, and both of them had high-flying offenses.
Dooley?
Yeah, that last year.
Are you giving any credit to Dooley? No, Jake, no.
Just saying.
No.
What an idiot.
Don't overcomplicate this. Don't overcomplicate this. Just take my December 7th. That's the thing.
stay away from December 7th.
I mean, unlike Pearl Harbor, the Tennessee football program has never awakened to dominate the world.
And
we just keep getting hammered.
It's Pearl Harbor every day around here. That's in poor taste. I shouldn't say that. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, hiring Pruitt was kind of like Pearl Harbor-y in hindsight.
Hopefully they finally awakened the giant.
Yeah, when is the Battle of Midway, where we kick their asses?
That was a little bit on into the war after that. It was the Battle of the Pacific.
Like 3 years in?
I don't know.
By now. I mean, we should – all I'm saying is the comeuppance. I mean, when are we going to drop the big stereo on the rest of the SEC?
Oh, like on Alabama?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Because that's who I like in Alabama, too, the Imperial Japanese Army and Navy, military.
All right, maybe it's time we move along from these terrible World War II analogies before we get ourselves done canceled on December 7th, Tuesday edition of The Drive. Make your bowl picks, folks, for the Crown Cleaners Bowl Picks Challenge. Send your bowl selections in via, we're using the ESPN site. It's super simple to use, folks. You can find it on my Twitter feed, on our Facebook page. Seek and ye shall find, ladies and gentlemen. Fabulous gifts and prizes. You can get about $100 worth of gift cards from Crown Cleaners, Alumni Hall, Qdoba. I'm trying to get a Rickard Ridge to throw in there for you as well. We'll hook that up for you. I'll buy it if I have to. I'm going to go ahead and set that in stone. Rickard Ridge as well. We're adding to the gift card haul. You could win, but you got to sign up. You got to sign up to win, folks. Go find that facebook.com/thedrivewithrussellsmith. Get registered as the bowl games kick off a week from Friday down there in the Bahamas with Jake's Blue Raiders.
You're just going to give out, you're giving out just like a handful of gift cards on this one.
That's what people want anymore. Like, you don't want me to actually get you something. You don't want me to go to Alumni Hall and get you what I think is the best Tennessee shirt. I might not even get your correct size. So I'm going to give you the card, and then you can decide. It might be a lady who wins, and she might want a more feminine type of garb. She might not want garb at all. She might want to use it towards one of those paintings or pictures or hats or whatever at Alumni Hall. It's cool. That's what you want, gift cards, right, Jake? You don't want actual stuff anymore.
No. I've got everything I want.
What do you buy the man who has everything?
A gift card, Rickard Ridge Barbecue.
There you go.
Nothing. You wish him a happy Christmas and a merry new year and be on your way. Jake's got everything. You don't need anything from me, Jake. Well wishes. Happy holidays, my friend.
Love you too, Bear.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't ask for presents anymore.
I don't either.
If I want something, I'll go get it.
No self-respecting man over the age of what?
20.
18.
20. Like once you turn 20, 21, you don't get to ask for Christmas gifts anymore.
No.
Huh.
Now,
drop some hints.
I still wake up with anticipation. Like, well, I still like, oh, I wonder what I got this year. I've still got that.
We're usually very well taken care of. We all compare our hauls after the holidays.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, you get good gifts over there at your house.
Oh, I like to think so.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're nice to people, Bear. People get you stuff.
Couldn't let you marry
with,
people
do nice things for you. So, I think after 20 years old as a man, I mean, if you're like 30 and you're asking your mom or your wife, you know what I'd really like this year?
if it's your wife, you can hint around enough that she'll figure it out. Yeah. Boy, I sure could use a new socket set.
Boy, this laptop's getting kind of old.
I never went that far.
This phone's slowing down on me, man.
Wouldn't it be nice to
hold a charge anymore?
Wouldn't it be nice to throw a steak on the grill?
Well done, sir. Yeah. A very passive hint right there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it would be really nice to have a nice smoked ham or something for
yeah
for family get together.
I get Junior's mom. That's her birthday present every year. I get her a whole smoked turkey from one of the local barbecue places.
There you go.
It's an incredible birthday present to give somebody.
Love a smoked turkey.
You'd be like Homer and get her the bowling ball.
No.
Can't believe that didn't work out. And in hindsight, Marge was always a little bit ungrateful. That's just what I thought. Folks, we got a great show lined up for you here this afternoon. Coming up in just a few minutes, Mike Carmen of the Journal Courier from Lafayette, Indiana. Is it West Lafayette?
Do they say it Lafayette up there?
I don't know. Lafayette is Louisiana. I think Lafayette.
I thought Lafayette would be Lafayette sounds more like it'd be Louisiana. Well, you go on with your intro here.
Middle Tennessee pronounces it Lafayette.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This is going to be all kinds of confusing to Brian Kelly. Mike Carmen, Purdue beat writer, set to join us here in just a few moments. Then in hour number two, Joe Rexrode from The Athletic and 102.5 The Game in Nashville will stop by for a segment with us. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. Just getting started on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Back with more right after this. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee had three players named to the coaches' all-SEC teams announced today by the league office. Velus Jones Jr., Theo Jackson, and Cade Mays were each named to all-SEC postseason teams for the first time in their careers. Marked the second time in three seasons that the Vols had at least three players named to the postseason all-SEC teams by the league's coaches. Jones, first team honors as an all-purpose player and return specialist. Just the second player to earn all-SEC first team accolade since 2016, joining VFL and current starter for the Kansas City Chiefs, Trey Smith. Theo Jackson, all-SEC second team recognition at defensive back. Congratulations to the Nashville native. Big season this year as a super senior.
Nice.
And Cade Mays, second team selection as well after being named SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week twice this season following standout performances and wins at Missouri and Kentucky. So,
how cool would it be to get him back?
Yep.
You could return the entire line.
Yeah, I want to hold my breath there.
Yeah, I'm not either. But it would be cool. Get him healthy.
I'll take 4 out of 5. I mean, you return 4 out of 5 starting offensive linemen.
On a team that had this kind of success offensively.
Now, you need to clean up the O-line play. Gave up more sacks than anybody else in the league by a wide margin. But we also ran a lot more plays. You have to figure that in, too. So
I'm really looking. I'm hoping Darnell Wright.
Yep. Takes the next step.
Yeah, I mean, it's his time to step up.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Carvin coming back as a fifth-year guy. Cooper's got to stay healthy, obviously. That's a key.
Yeah, they've got to get his ankle fixed this offseason. So.
And then Spraggins. Really like him, man. He's quietly unsung. Had a nice sophomore season. He'll be an upperclassman starting next year. All right, and basketball news today. 13th-ranked Tennessee in New York City. Second straight game away from home, the Jimmy V Classic in Madison Square Garden. They'll be taking on Texas Tech tonight at 7 p.m. You can watch it on ESPN. Dan Shulman and Jay Billis will have the call.
Jay Billis. Sometimes I like him on the call.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't. You don't want to be involved in anything to do with the ACC if he's on the call. Or one of his little coaches he likes. Yeah.
That is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, the real estate market. Wow, what a year. What a year, man. Those home prices just skyrocketed a couple months ago, and they have stayed up. You can take part in the bonanza by calling Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. See how much you can sell your home for. Bet it's a lot. Give you something to think about. And the best part is, thinking about it doesn't cost anything. That's free. Bo will give you a free consultation, 865-742-1035. This is his number. You can call him there anytime or just visit his website, BoKnowsHouses.com. That's Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, real estate the right way. We go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline where Mike Carmen is standing by. Mike, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, doing very well. Thanks for jumping on. Now, help me out. It's the West Lafayette Journal and Courier. Did I nail that?
No.
Big swing and a miss. Who are you with?
No, it was a foul ball. It's just the Lafayette Journal and Courier.
Lafayette. All right, very good. Foul ball. I'll get back in there and take my hacks.
Same company that owns your newspaper. Don't
yeah. All right. Part of the USA Today network. Very good. Yep. Mike, take us through Purdue. Another good season for the Boilermakers. 8-4. Jeff Brohm has stuck around up there and built a nice program. Huge upset win over Michigan State. Huge upset win over Iowa this year, and they roll in here. Now, is everyone going to play? I hear there's some pretty good players that are going pro early that are contemplating whether or not to play in this game.
Yeah, they're two best players. Receiver David Bell and defensive end George Karloftis are going to enter the draft. That much is clear. The unclear part is if they will participate in the bowl game or not. To be honest, I'd be surprised if they did. I think they're ready to get on with the next, you know, phase of their career. And, you know, there's always, what if I get hurt type of thing. And so that's, we're just kind of waiting to see if that happens or when that happens, because Purdue will start bowl practices on Friday.
Isn't that a shame? Tennessee's got a young man, Alante Taylor, who's taking that approach as well, not going to play in the bowl game. And, you know, certainly get it. There's a lot of money at stake for these young men, but they kind of warned us about this, Mike, in the playoff era, that this was going to happen more and more, and they were right.
It's not a surprise, and it's hard to, be upset at the players, because we're not in their shoes, we're not part of their family, we don't understand exactly what they're thinking about. You know, they've spent their whole lives building toward this moment. And a lot of guys are on 3-year plans now when they enter college. And I think George and David were part of that. It'd be unfortunate for Purdue if they didn't, because it's a nice stage for both those guys to get on. And they're tremendous players. And George is going to be a first-round pick. David probably somewhere in the second round. But they've had tremendous careers. It would be great to see them against that kind of competition to see how they stack up. I wouldn't count on it right now. Hopefully I'm surprised.
Mike Carmen with us here this afternoon talking Purdue and Tennessee. Now, how big are those losses? Obviously, they are fantastic players. How does that affect how Purdue will approach this game, if indeed they decide to sit it out?
Well, from a defensive standpoint, you know, George was always getting double teamed, sometimes triple teamed off the edge. And that left the rest of the defensive line in one-on-one situations. They were able to take advantage of that. The defensive line for Purdue has played very well this year, but that's with George Karloftis. If he's not there, you don't see the double teams, or you might see them in a different spot. And that may slow down the productivity of what, you know, potentially this defensive line can produce in that bowl game. Offensively, David's their best receiver. He's the most targeted guy. They have Aiden O'Connell, their quarterback, is always looking for him, whether it's up the sideline, on a short slant, across the middle. Plus, he can get involved in the run game a little bit. He hasn't done it a whole lot this year, but he can if need be. So you're taking away a valuable offensive weapon, a guy that's 22 yards short of setting the program's single-season receiving yardage record. He didn't quite get it in the last game, and that's not a reason to come back, but he's going to leave, you know, potentially 22 yards short, but also tells you how they rely on him. He has 17 100-yard receiving games, which is a program record.
Wow.
And those that know about Purdue's history and the cradle of quarterbacks, they've thrown the ball a lot through their time, so that's quite an accomplishment for him.
No doubt. And, you know, if they can somehow replace that production for this one game or most of it. You know, you talk about Kurloftis being out, and Tennessee didn't play much defense at times. Played a lot of offense, but got roasted a couple of times in SEC play. Mike, we're painting the picture for a potential shootout in Nashville, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to have David Bell be part of that, and I would.
Sure.
I might line up with you all the way. But Purdue does have some other weapons there. Milton Wright would be their next best receiver, and he had a great game up at Wrigley Field against Northwestern. He had three TD catches, and he's been the guy just below David as far as production is concerned. You know, he struggled early in his career with some drops, but he seems to have figured some things out. And to me, if you don't have David Bell, I would like to see Purdue, from an offensive standpoint, incorporate their tight ends a whole lot more. And there's only one ball to go around, but I think they have two really good tight ends that could be, could be a difference in any game. We'll see if that happens. And you know, the other part of it too, Purdue's just not been successful running the ball this year. From a traditional standpoint, they've tried to manufacture the rushing game through some different means, whether it's a receiver, whether it's rotating some quarterbacks in to get some of the runs there. They still have some weapons, but you're missing the main guy there.
Now, Purdue is coached by Jeff Brohm. That's a name that Tennessee fans are familiar with, as Tennessee targeted him at one point during the ill-fated coaching search of 2017 that received so much media coverage. To what degree, how far they got down the road, I don't know. Has Jeff ever talked about that publicly, Mike? Do you know how far things got down the road with him in Tennessee in 2017?
No, he has not. And I plan to kind of ask him about it at some point during the bowl prep to see what, if he would say anything or stuff like that. I doubt that he will, but I obviously do remember that. At one time, I thought he was your coach. I mean, I thought he was Tennessee's coach at one point in that process. But no, he hasn't addressed it. We'll see. It's kind of one of those minor subplots to this game, and most bowl games have a lot of subplots, and that's probably just one of them.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, his name was mentioned with Tennessee, obviously, and then Purdue, where he was such a good player, or I'm sorry, Louisville, where he was such a good player back in the day, and a lot of people just thought he would be short term there at Purdue, but he's kind of stuck around and built his own thing up there. Are you surprised that he didn't take the Louisville job a couple of years ago? I'm pretty sure they offered him that one. That was pretty much well reported, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did offer him the job after his second year at Purdue, and I was a little surprised he didn't take it, because I think that's eventually where he would like to end up, but I don't think the timing at that point was right for him to go do that. He just finished his fifth year here. He's had a couple of losing seasons prior to this one, so this was kind of a bounce back year for the program. You know, even though last year was a COVID year and it was kind of all messed up, he's trying to build something here. He's trying to, you know, make them a player in the Big Ten West on an annual basis. They got a little bit closer this year to the top of the division, but you know, didn't quite get there. And he's got a decent recruiting class coming in next year, and of course, you never know with the transfer portal. You know, that's the unknown of recruiting now, is, you know, how are you going to fill some spots with the transfer portal, and who are you going to get, and what quality of athlete are you going to get out of that place?
You know, it's kind of refreshing, actually, for to hear about a coach who, you know, has an opportunity to go to a job that, you know, you said he might like to get to sometime and turns that down, maybe out of a sense of unfinished business, or, you know, I hesitate to use the word loyalty because that seems to be in short supply these days, whether it's coaches towards the schools or schools towards the coaches or, you know, players towards the schools nowadays. But it's kind of neat, I would say, to see a guy stick around for more than 2 or 3 years when he had the option to go elsewhere.
Well, that may sound all good, but I have no idea what kind of money Louisville offered him. I know the money. I know the money that Purdue gave him. I don't know if Louisville was just short. They didn't. Yeah. They didn't come with the full allotment or something else. But yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, on the surface, it looks good. I just think the timing wasn't right at that point for him because he just finished 2 years. They'd been to back-to-back bowl games. They were kind of building something here. So, I mean, everything in life is about timing. It doesn't mean the next time that faced with the same situation, he would make the same decision. But he is I consider him a bit of a homebody, a guy that, you know, likes his hometown and still has family in Louisville that, you know, one day down the road, I do see him probably eventually getting there to close out his career or at least have some sort of role at Louisville.
Sure. Talking with Mike Kerman this afternoon. He covers Purdue for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. And, Mike, before we let you out of here, just your thoughts on the game. Over 3 weeks away, still a lot of twists and turns. And as we talked about earlier, we don't even really know what the personnel is going to look like for Purdue all the way at this moment in time. But what are your thoughts? I mean, I saw where some books had Purdue opening as a two-point favorite. One has Tennessee as a 2.5-point favorite now. I mean, this is shaping up to be a pretty good game. What are your thoughts on how Purdue will come out and perform?
Well, they have to perform better than the last time they were in Nashville at the 2018 Music City Bowl when Auburn plastered them 63-14. I didn't think they'd be back in the same position again this quickly, but they are. And they need to kind of prove that they've made progress from that game. They don't necessarily have to win it, but they can't be outmanned and outmatched like they were that day. And that to me, that's going to be a big sign of, you know, maybe what Purdue's program can be over the next couple of years, and have they made enough progress since that game to show it on the field against, you know, a quality SEC team and program. And, you know, as you know, and your listeners know, when you play an SEC team, that's the ultimate measurement of college football. How do you stack up in that regard? And Purdue needs to find a way to stack up well against Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee is probably across the board better athletes, better skilled players, but there's always those intangibles that come in. I mean, Purdue's quarterback is playing very well right now. He's had 16 touchdowns, no interceptions the last five games. If he stays in that kind of groove, you know, it's kind of hard to slow down this offense. But a turnover here, a penalty there, changes things. So, you know, I think it'll be, you know, I think on paper, at least right now, it looks like a game that should be competitive. It should be close. It should go into the second half. But, you know, a lot of things can change. A lot of things you see on tape don't always show up when you actually get on the field. And
yeah,
then things kind of unravel from there.
Purdue fans excited about this one, or are they going to come down to Nashville, or is the trauma of that last visit still too fresh on their minds?
I think some of them are probably still gun shy from going there 3 years ago. But they did converge on Nashville back then, and I think that's part of the reason why Purdue's back in this bowl is because they supported, they helped the Nashville economy those 3 or 4 or 5 days that they were down there drinking and eating and spending money. But you know, the other thing that might keep people away is just the whole COVID thing still, as our country still deals with it. I mean, we all have to learn to live with it and deal with it the best way that we can. So that may shy some people away. But, you know, I think for the most part, I think Purdue fans will support this bowl, support this opportunity. It's a quick drive for them, you know, 5-6 hours, depending on where they live in the state of Indiana. So I expect Purdue to have a pretty good turnout for the bowl game.
I know they're excited about that basketball team they got up there. Good grief, man. They're just bombing people right now.
Yeah, number one in the country for the first time, which is, it. You know, once that stat got out that Purdue had never been number one, it's really surprised people when you look at the, you know, they won 24 Big Ten championships. They've had these All-Americans. They've had these really special teams over the years, but they've never been number one until now. And it's kind of it's been a celebration of the program a little bit over the last few days to get them to that number one spot. Now, Thursday. They got to go play at Rutgers, and they got to get back to business of trying to keep winning games.
Good stuff. Mike, appreciate the time. Great talking with you. Enjoy the holidays and have a safe trip to Nashville to cover the bowl game. Thanks for jumping on and breaking it down with us here this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yep, that's Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal and Courier. You can follow him on Twitter for more of the Purdue flavor of this Music City Bowl matchup at Carman_JC. Carmin_JC on the Twitter machine. If you want to jump on the G3 Help Me Hotline, give us a ring, 865-546-8200. Your numbers, we open it up for the first time today, 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Ah, yes, that's right. It's college football bowl season and your chance to win fabulous gifts and prizes from our friends at Crown Cleaners. Win gift cards from Alumni Hall, Qdoba, and Crown Cleaners by participating in our annual College Football Bowl Picks Challenge. It's free to register. All you got to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDriveWithRussellSmith. Click on the link and make your picks for every college football bowl game this year. The listener who Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Bear, what did you learn?
That he very seriously doubts whether it was a wide receiver. Is it defensive end? They're going to be playing in the bowl game. Which I don't know how I feel, but part of me is somewhat relieved we don't have to worry about them. Yeah. But the other part of me is
wants to beat them at full strength.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I lean more towards that. I really do.
Yeah. I'd rather beat you with your best players.
Now, I think that now, 3 weeks before the game.
We won't be thinking that during that game.
If they were playing and like a quarter into it, I'd be like, man, I wish these dudes weren't playing.
Yeah. I'd be saying something crazier. But
Auburn beat them 62-14 the last time they were down there.
I remember that game. So I immediately looked up and I was like, whoa, he's talking about that one. Yeah, they got brutalized.
Think we can do that to them again?
Just pull Mizzou out.
I mean, we can score. If we can get deep on Georgia and Alabama. Well, I mean, Alabama got deep on Georgia.
Many of you are sending me the video, the young man who died.
Otis Anderson Jr.
at UCF last week, who was shot and killed tragically, that Heupel coached.
Horrific domestic violence deal.
That Heupel coached in Orlando. Heupel evidently delivered the eulogy today at the young man's funeral, and the video of that is going viral.
Yeah.
I will watch that after the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a tearjerker, but I hear that he did really well, that it was...
I could see that. He seems like he's a pretty normal as far as major college football coaches go. Personality-wise, he seems like he's a pretty normal dude.
A minor piece of breaking news from the college football universe today. And this is a name we had some fun with earlier in the year, although we did not have much fun with him during the actual game. Pitt offensive coordinator. Do you remember the name? You remember the name, Bear?
No, it's gone.
Jake, you remember the name?
Nope.
Mark Whipple.
What about him?
He has resigned.
Why?
I don't know, but I mean they're playing Michigan State in the Peach Bowl. It's such a great year.
There's not going to be an SEC team in the Peach Bowl?
No, I can't keep up with these bowl affiliations anymore.
That's just
I think that they're playing the Peach Bowl, right?
The Peach Bowl?
Yeah.
You're having a bear moment, dude. I'm in damn Peach Bowl and forever it's Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Whatever. I call it the Peach Bowl.
It's the Peach Bowl.
Did they go back to the Peach Bowl?
Yes.
They go back and forth. Like, it's the Peach Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Let's just roll with that, okay?
All right.
Not get lost in the details here. Mark Whipple has resigned. That is the story.
Pitt are slated to play who in the Peach? I was sitting here still trying to figure out his name when you were telling me.
It's not important. The story here, but focus with me.
They just won the ACC championship, right? They got this hotshot quarterback who's shooting up the draft boards, and their offensive coordinator is leaving before the game. What do you think happened? You think he did something wrong?
Is he not going to another? Well, I mean, every day we've been talking about guys leaving. It's kind of all running together at this point, Russ. I just assume he's somebody else that's leaving for a better job.
All it says is he's resigned. Barrett Salee's reporting it now. Averaged the third most points per game in the FBS. 43
Mark
points
Whipple.
Per game.
What are,
you know, maybe he's going to LSU.
Oklahoma?
With Venables?
Oh. Very
what's his,
interesting.
What's his background? Where'd he play? Is he a Big 12 guy at heart?
Let's find out.
I don't know. He's old.
All those guys were old.
Yeah.
On Narduzzi's staff. Yeah. What do you think about your boy doing the fake slide thing?
I think that's it was cool, but if I were a Wake Forest player or fan, I would be pissed off. Because well, all the rules to protect the quarterbacks, and like when you see the guy start to slide, you stop
like,
playing.
Yeah, like he dragged his foot. I mean, I've gone back and watched it.
It's bang bang, and there's no rule against it. We've never seen that before.
Kind of it's borderline kind of a little bit sleazy kind of play. It's like, really?
Sure.
You're taking advantage of the fact that you can't even get breathed on anymore without, you know.
Well, if they're going to start doing that, if
Rico
that's going to be
Tubbs
a thing.
Coming out there and arresting you at midfield for assaulting a quarterback.
If that's going to be a thing now and quarterbacks are going to
really
start doing this,
really
then they're
going to
stop pulling up on them. They're going to start getting creamed. And
beautiful.
Like, what do you do? It's beautiful until your starting safety gets thrown out of the game in the first half.
Well, I think they're going to make a rule. They'll close that loophole this year. If you do what I think they should have blown it dead, because I mean it was more than just a fake. I mean he was just starting.
But if you're an official, I mean you don't have time to process all that. You're not going to blow it dead.
Probably not. But they certainly could have thrown what could you throw? Unsportsmanlike conduct right there from spot of the foul.
DP Gregory says, Russ, I'm 50, and my mom better drag her ass out there and get me some Christmas. Stop shaming.
DP.
All right, DP.
What, 50, you got to figure, you know, his mom's got to be pushing 70, and he's shoving her out there into the wild.
What would he need?
Shove your senior citizen mom out there to buy you stuff.
Well, we had
50.
To tell my mom, like, because we'll have Christmas at our house and then we'll go over to my mom's house.
You had to have the talk with her.
Well, but they like to provide stuff for the grandkids and everything. But like, we have this tradition with like these big stockings and they'll just like give us stuff. And we had to kind of tell her, it's like, look, just do it for the kids. Like, we don't have, like, you don't have to.
You don't want your mom out there spending, putting in overtime.
Yeah, that. And like, I've got too much stuff. Like, I'm trying to get stuff out of my house.
You are a declutter.
I want the stuff out.
Yeah. I can
and
see that.
And like I say, like, I do love getting a gift and anything. Like, you open, oh, look, there's some pistachios. So like, that's nice. But at the end of the day, that bag of pistachios is going to sit on the counter in my kitchen for like 3 months. We'll eat some of it.
Wait a minute. You and then bring them to me.
You big pistachios guy?
Love them.
So my stocking's always got like Reese's Cups in it.
Yeah.
I love Reese's Cups.
You get thin mints is always a tradition in mine.
Last Christmas was the first Christmas where I didn't exchange most of the clothes I got.
Well, I feel like, you know, too, at a certain point, once you reach the age of 20, and you're buying gifts for your friends, you're buying gifts for your parents, your parents buying gifts for you. You're basically just exchanging money at that point.
Well, you are. That's a good way of putting it.
It's like, okay, well, this person spent $200 on me. I'm going to go spend $200 on them. This person spends $5. Okay, well, they're getting
wait till
McChicken.
Wait till you have kids, brother. And you're like, yeah. What are we doing here?
We're going to the Dollar Tree.
I'm starting to get to that point where it's transitioning out of presents and into just straight cash, homie.
How about a budget-friendly Christmas? That's what I'm talking about.
That's right? What I'm having.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline this afternoon as we cruise through this Tuesday here in East Tennessee.
It is Russell Bear and Jake back with you doing the thing. And portions of our show today are brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Turn every Tuesday into payday with TNT Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you win or lose, FanDuel giving all customers $10 back every Tuesday. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same game parlays allow you to combine the money line, point spread, and player props and more all into one wager. So you could go over to FanDuel right now and take a look at all the games that are being played that are on the NBA agenda for this evening and choose one and put together a same game parlay. You want to do a player point total, rebounds, assists, obviously the money line, the over under, the point spread, all that stuff. You can, it's a lot of fun, man. It's just a way to make any game that much more interesting. The perfect way to turn a small bet into a big time score. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours at America's number one sports book. FanDuel, get $10 back every Tuesday, win or lose, with TNT Tuesdays. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable sack credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. I'm sorry, I slipped into a little Brian Kelly at 9-7-89.
Coach Brian Kelly.
Oh, Brian Kelly, LPR. When you come to a new area, you begin to adopt the manners and customs of that area. I've been down here in Baton Rouge for about 2 days now, and I'm going to go over and get me some chicken and biscuits. Mmm.
Why not gumbo?
Because I had that for breakfast, Jake.
Why not crawfish?
Brian Kelly, like Tennessee was going after him for a minute.
Yeah.
He's gone to LSU, and he's adopted this like foghorn, leghorn, Louisiana plantation owner kind of personality. We don't really have a lot of that here in East Tennessee. If he had gotten the Tennessee job, would he have just gone full on like East Tennessee Hill Jack?
Probably.
I got my Rocky boot and my pickup truck. I'm going to go get me a chili dog from the gas station.
Hey, Tennessee fans, this here's Brian Kelly. It's great to be the head coach of the Vols. I'm from Boston, but I sure do love it here in East Tennessee.
Good Lord.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Bear, have you done the bowl picks yet? No, of course not.
No.
Jake, have you done the bowl picks?
No, but I've placed a parlay. No,
of course not.
I mean, dude, it's like 2 weeks away, man.
It is 2 weeks away. It's 1.5 weeks.
You do realize that you announced it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had a chance.
Okay, Mr. Blue Collar Rush. That's why they call me the working man.
I work for a living, not writing down gobbledygook.
Okay. All right, Hank. We got you. Go get your bowl picks in, folks. Facebook page, find the link, click it, get in the group, get in the game. Win your fabulous gifts and prizes, courtesy of Crown Cleaners. Crown Cleaners, Coach Kelly would say. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Talk to Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
This is Beauregard Kelly. I cannot wait until he starts answering to that. Hey, Beauregard.
I do declare.
Yes, I'm over here with my decaf and beignets. Good night. He is that dude's a clown. He's gonna win games there. I do believe that. That's hilarious. As far as the bowl game is concerned, guys, Russ, you said the defensive end and the wide receiver aren't playing is what you're hearing. Is that correct?
That's what Mike Kerman from Lafayette, who covers the team, said, yes.
Okay.
Well, he said they're leaning that way. Hasn't been official, but he would be surprised.
Totally in on them being out. I want to win. I know Bears said they want to beat him from full strength, and I respect that because he's a full-grown man. But all I care about is winning. And I think they're actually a pretty bad matchup for Tennessee. A lot of people think I'm nuts, but we haven't stopped a pass over the middle this year, just like last year. And that's what they do extremely well.
So you know that guy, Brom, is turning on the film and looking at our defense like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they're one of the top playmaker. When I say that, the number of plays they run per game on offense, they're one of the top in the country in a conference that's pretty much dominated by run. And they basically use their pass game as a run game. They went back to like the old, I guess it was at Joe Tiller, when Joe Tiller was there. And they'd throw it 100 times a game with Drew Brees, but it was really like, you know, 2 yard outs to act as a running game. That's what they do. And that, Tennessee has proven that they do not play pretty well against that. I was hoping for a run first team. That was definitely. So I still think we're going to win, and you know, I guess Tennessee is now giving points. They moved that to, it's like 2 now. Is that right?
Yeah, 2.5.
I still think that's good money. I think you're on good money there. I definitely think Tennessee wins, but they are a tough matchup for Tennessee. It's going to be a lot closer than people think. And Jeff Brohm is a really good football coach. You know, when they announced when a certain individual, also of Cajun descent, announced a couple years ago that he was going to be our coach, I was not mad about it. A lot of people were not happy, but I thought I think he's a decent football coach. You guys agree with that?
With Brohm?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was kind of excited. I was for however many hours that lasted.
The 11 minutes that it was possible.
It was an interesting 11 minutes. It was a time of hope, a time of joy, a time of great promise.
Yeah. Well, I did not know about Josh Heupel delivering a eulogy at that kid's funeral.
Wow.
That is, I cannot wait to see that. I haven't seen it, but I can only imagine that's a tearjerker. So he seems like the guy's guy, doesn't he? I think he's just a guy who loves people and that people love him. And, man, that feels good. That feels good as a Tennessee fan. And, by the way, he's one of the most dynamic play callers in college football. That also helps.
He loves Smokey the Dog and hanging half a hundred on you.
That's right, hanging half a hundo, 50 burger on that ass. Guys, I'll just say this. Well, down here in the South, Beauregard Kelly will take your call to tell him about it, JoJo. You remember all that jazz?
Roberto, you have yourself a pleasant afternoon. We'll be right back. Hour number 2 of The Drive coming up.